What is the state of cancer care in Canada? What are we doing right and what needs more attention? The Cancer Advocacy Coalition of Canada released its annual report card on cancer in Canada on February the 10th, 2009. It is authored by oncologists and cancer patients across the country and highlights inadequacies, ills, and disconnects within the system and offers recommendations for improvements. And I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Kong Ku, Kelowna-based medical oncologist, clinical assistant professor at the University of British Columbia, and vice chair, Cancer Advocacy Coalition of Canada. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Barry, for the opportunity.
I first wanted to ask you for our listeners to understand what Cancer Advocacy Coalition of Canada is.
We're a nonprofit advocacy group. We put out an annual report card on cancer that comes out around this time each year. In it, we try and identify some of the major needs in the system to serve cancer patients in this country.
What were the principal areas of focus for this year?
Well, we had several articles, but I think our key article centered around the first cancer vaccine program that's being planned for this country and currently being implemented across the provinces. We had a major piece on electronic health records, particularly for patients in smaller and distant communities where they're getting the care remote from a formal regional cancer center by care providers closer to home, as well as a major piece by myself and Chris Bonnet on the cost of cancer drugs and how there's an increased reliance on private insurance to provide these life-saving drugs for cancer patients that need them.
Now, if I may, if we want to start at cancer prevention, in this case cervical cancer and the human papillomavirus vaccination programs, what were your observations across the country with respect to the availability of these programs and the actual incidence or prevalence of the disease in those particular provinces?
My colleague, Rosemary Colucci, compared the implementation of HPV or human papilloma vaccine across the different provinces. Last year, in 2007, the federal government committed $300 million for implementation of this, the first cancer vaccine ever implemented or identified. The person who actually who developed this vaccine actually won the Nobel Prize. Mm-hmm. What we showed is that even though the provinces were given the same amount of money per capita for this implementation program, each province took a different implementation strategy. And what resulted was that there was great variation in how many girls actually were covered between ages 9 and 17, which was the main target population for the vaccination program. The provinces with the lowest cervical cancer rates, such as Quebec and BC, didn't actually have some of the better coverage. Quebec, for example, had the best and most comprehensive coverage, essentially covering 100% of all eligible girls between the ages of 9 and 17. And this is a voluntary program, of course.
Right.
But all that entire population is covered, whereas other provinces, such as Alberta, PEI, Ontario, which has some of the highest risks, highest incidence of cervical cancer, actually had some of the lowest number of patients actually covered by their programs.
So it was almost an inverse proportionality to the provision of, in some provinces, to the provision of the vaccine and the incidence or the prevalence of the disease.
That's right. Why? If you have limited healthcare resources and dollars, you should be directing the monies where the need is greatest.
Mm-hmm.
Our study showed that that wasn't necessarily the case.
Now, with respect to access to new therapeutic choices, the Globe and Mail actually, it was interesting, it seemed to coincide. The Globe and Mail reported on how there are now infusion centers that are being set up across the country to provide medications that hospitals do not with regards to cancer care because they're not approved on provincial formularies, but these medications have been approved by Health Canada, and yet patients don't have access to this through the hospital system or the public system. They go to these infusion centers with either insurance coverage or paying through their own pocket for some of these newer medications to treat their cancers. What does this do with regards to cost to patients, the burden on the system, and the findings that you've had in your report that looked at this issue?
Actually, our report was actually on take-home cancer drugs, so it looked at a different group of drugs. But we documented 2 years ago this evolution of private cancer chemotherapy clinics and the private increasing reliance on private payouts for these drugs that some patients require because the public system wouldn't cover them or administer them within the hospitals. I think we're seeing a slow shift in Ontario. Many of the regional cancer centers are actually providing these drugs and charging patients.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been evolving over the past 2 years. Our particular study actually looked at another group of drugs, take-home cancer drugs. These are drugs usually in the form of tablets that patients can take and take in their homes for their cancer. It doesn't require intravenous administration. It doesn't require pharmacists to mix these drugs and nurses to administer them in chemotherapy clinics. They're given pills, and they take it at home.
Mm-hmm.
And what we showed is that for take-home cancer drugs, the costs are rising for both governments, public pharmacare plans, as well as private insurance. But what we documented was different patterns of how cancer drugs are provided. In the Western provinces, we show that the public system provide most of these treatments. So if you have cancer, essentially these drugs are provided for you by our Medicare system.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, in Ontario and Quebec, if you have if you need these oral take-home drugs, about a third of the payouts are actually from insurance companies. You have to have private insurance in order to get these these drugs. And in Atlantic Canada, there's actually a different pattern of payment. In fact, private insurance companies provide more than governments do for cancer patients in that region. The other major finding from our study was that everybody's paying more. Mm-hmm. Private and public insurers are paying